Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Let's turn in our Bibles. And I have my super giant print one today.
All right.
Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 1 through 3. Praise God. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? Whom have I put away, or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? What he's saying there is, I didn't cast you off, you cast me off. You turned your back on me. Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word, Lord. Father, we know that those are rhetorical questions. No, your hand is not too short to redeem or to deliver if we will only put our trust in you and turn to you wholeheartedly. Father, I pray that we would do that in our hearts this morning, Lord God, in our minds, Father, that we would just focus on you, Lord, and who you are, even beyond the great things that you do for us, Lord, just who you are, the Almighty God of this universe, in whom we can trust, in whom we can rely, in whom we can put our faith, our souls, our bodies, Lord God, our families, and everything that pertains unto us into your glorious hands. How powerful you are, Lord God. Help us to not sell you short, Lord, but to see you in your mightiness rather in any small way. Father, speak to us this day, we pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Please be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. They are rhetorical questions. But we can separate ourselves from the Lord, can't we? And doesn't mean that he doesn't love us still, but it does mean that we can't expect the greatness of the blessings that he has for each one of us. You know, I want to talk a little bit today about some of the names of God and the different situations that arise and have arisen as our examples where God has revealed himself in different ways to different people. Everything is in his name. Amen. His attributes, his power, his holiness, his righteousness, his justice, his love, everything is contained in his name. And yet he has revealed himself to different people by different names. You know, I was talking at the end of the service last week about if we have a need, we need to find a scripture that talks about that need and stand on that scripture, stand on that word, and expect God to come through with that, the fulfillment of that promise, whatever the need might be. And it's the same in dealing with God in his various aspects. You know, I was watching a little bit of the Olympics, and I always think, when I see track and field, I think of Eric Little, of course, of Chariots of Fire fame. But God brought to my remembrance somebody else that I haven't thought about in a long time. You know, there was a young boy who grew up in a little town in Kansas. And his job was to go to their one-house, one-room schoolhouse early each morning and light the fire so the house, the school would be warm when the other children arrived. And one day someone had mistakenly replaced the kerosene that he usually used to light the fire with gasoline. And it set the whole place on fire, and he was very, very badly burned. In fact, the whole bottom half of his body was burned very drastically. And they took him, and the doctors didn't think he would live in the first place. And then when he did survive, they wanted to amputate his legs because they were so badly burned, and his toes on one foot had been burned completely off. And his mother, godly woman, would not let them do it. And she actually stood at the door and wouldn't let them in because she had faith in God. That young man who said it was said of would never walk again worked for years just pulling himself by his arms. Finally, one day, he was able to take one step and then another step and another. And after several more years of rehab, he discovered he could not only walk, but he could run like the wind. His name was Glenn Cunningham. Maybe you've heard his name. He went on, this was in the 1930s, to set a record for the mile, world record, which was finally broken by a man named Roger Bannister, who broke the 4-minute mile, first one to do it, a Brit. He won I don't know how many races and awards, and is in the Track and Field Hall of Fame. He was a man of God who was brought up in a family of God, and the scripture, not surprisingly, that he stood on through all those painful days of rehab was Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Praise be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now that name for Lord there is Jehovah. And it not only means the Lord God, but it means and has the whole connotation of covenant. He knew he was in covenant with Almighty God, and that his arm was not too short to redeem and to deliver. And he stood on that word. And look at what God did with him. Not only in the field of running, but like Eric Little, he was a witness to those he came in contact with because he had stood on God's word and saw that it was true. That was one name of God, and it's used fairly frequently throughout the Old Testament. But there are others. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis 16, we're told about a young woman named Hagar, who bore Abraham an illegitimate son named Ishmael. And it says that when Abram's wife Sarah saw that her husband had borne a son with this servant girl, we're told in the New Testament that she said, cast out the bondwoman and her son, which Abraham did. But God promised that he would also make of Ishmael a great nation, just as the son of promise, Isaac. Now she was cast out and she went into the wilderness. And it says in Genesis 16, beginning with verse 11, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Ishmael means God shall hear. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. This is what we see in the world today, the Muslim world. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And that brethren is coming together into a brotherhood and a caliphate that is going to come viciously against Israel even more than it has in the past. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And that word Roy is what I want to focus on, Jehovah Roy. It's spelled R-O-I, but it's pronounced as if it was R-O-Y. And it means the God who sees me. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who sees us? There are times that we wish he would turn his eyes away, perhaps, when we're involved in something we shouldn't be, or our mind is going in a direction it shouldn't. But aren't you glad that he is a God who sees us? Regardless of what our circumstances are, he is aware of what we're going through. Sister Gloria quotes that scripture out of Isaiah 49 all the time, that we are engraved on the palms of his hands. But it goes on to say, our walls or our concerns are ever before him. He is aware of what we're going through every minute of every day, and especially during those trying times. As Hagar, here she is, she's a pregnant woman, she's out in the wilderness, she doesn't know what's going to happen to her, and God says, don't worry, I see your condition, and I'm willing and ready, and I'm able to do something about it, to comfort you, to help you, and to see you through. And our God is a God who sees. And he not only, what I love about God is that he's always able to do something about my circumstances. When I can't, when I've reached my wit's end, as it says in the psalm, he comes and delivers and saves and heals or provides or gives me whatever it is that I need. And all he says is, trust in me. My hand is not too short. I can deliver, and I can redeem. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Here we have Moses, 80 years old now, 40 years brought up in the courts of the Egyptians, 40 years out in the desert of Midian, having killed an Egyptian and fled for his life. And God appears to him at a burning bush, a bush that is not consumed, even though it's on fire. And he's telling Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh. I've seen the affliction of my people under Egyptian bondage, and I want you to go to Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the face of the earth, and demand that he let my people go. And of course, Moses makes all kinds of excuses. He can't talk well, send somebody else. Isn't that like us in our flesh, our humanity? Lord, I can't do that. You're calling me to do something I just could never do. And God says, yes, you can. And you know what? I know you can't, but I can. And that's the important thing. And in verse 14, Exodus 3:14. Moses, having asked him, Lord, what name shall I tell him? Not only Pharaoh, but your people that you're sending me to, they're going to want to know. Who has sent me? And God says in verse 14, unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. Praise be to God. Another way of translating that is, I am because I am. That's it. That's all you need to know. I always was, I am, and I always will be. I just am. Nobody created me. I have no beginning, I have no end. I am the self-existent, everlasting, almighty God of the universe, you can trust me. I'm eternal. I am stable. I am trustworthy. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's who I want you to tell them has sent you. And we can trust in that very same name. I am because I am. Praise be to God. And that should be good enough for us. Forget about evolution and the Big Bang and everything else. All we need to know is that God is, and He always was, and He always will be. He has no beginning. He has no end. Praise be to God. I am simply because I am Almighty God. And when we face those situations, perhaps there's somebody at work that we know we should be witnessing to, but they're intimidating in some way. Or we don't want to have our reputation spoiled. Oh, he's one of those types, or she's one of those types. We can know that the person that has sent us into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature is the great I Am. Praise be to God. They have a problem with it, you tell them, I sent you. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to do a few more. Judges chapter 6. Story of Gideon. We're all familiar with it, or we should be. God came to this kind of feeble man and told him he was going to use him to deliver the Israelites from their enemies. And of course, he raised the same excuses. Lord, I'm too weak. Lord, I can't do it. I'm not a man of war. And all manner of other things. But God says, I'm sending you. I have chosen you. You know, we're all weak. In the flesh, we are all weak, no matter how strong we are. What's his name? That guy that just set the record in the 100. Fastest man in the world. Bolt. He really thinks he's something else, doesn't he? But he is weak compared to God. And one day, he'll be brought to a place where he'll realize that, hopefully he will, to that place of humility, as we've all been broken by the Lord and found out just how weak we are in our flesh. And thank God it's not by might nor power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Judges chapter 6. Gideon has an encounter with the Lord. Let's start with verse 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. He thought he was going to die. You know, some people in the Bible had seen the Lord, but they had never seen His glory. We could never behold His glory and live. That's what it's talking about, that no one can see the face of God and live. Moses saw the face of God. He talked with Him face to face. But he saw Him in His state of non-consuming attributes. His state of love and mercy and grace and all of those attributes that are extended to God's people, His covenant people. But His other side, His glory, His magnificence that no one can approach to, no one has seen that and lived. And that's what Gideon was afraid of. But it says in verse 23, And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abezrites. I don't know how to pronounce that, but the thing that I want to focus on is Jehovah Shalom, God, our peace. I've said it many times before, but God's peace isn't just one of ceasing from anxiety and rest and calmness. His peace contains power. There is a power in His peace. It is a peace that passes all understanding, because many things in this world can give us at least temporary peace. But his peace contains power. You know, I had a dramatic example of that once when I was working for the Record. I'm sure I've shared it. But my mother had died, and I was, you know, very in that place of aftershock, you know, where someone who you love dies, and you're just not able to function that well. You know, you're just kind of in a daze. And it turned out that was a Sunday, and on Monday, they had asked me, the editor and managing editor were going away to a conference, and they put me in charge of the paper while they were gone. And that was the last thing I needed. But I got into the building. You know, I said, I got to do what I got to do, you know. Even though I'm upset myself and I'm not feeling myself, and the last thing I want to do is go in and run a newspaper. And I walked in the door, and we had computers by then, and I signed on with my password to the computer, and the instant I hit those keys, the power of God just hit me. And it was a peace that passed understanding. And I had to be in charge of the whole paper for 3 days. And God just gave me a wisdom and an empowerment that was just like nothing I've ever felt. Well, I have felt it a few times since then when God has used me in certain circumstances. But there was power in that peace. I had absolute peace that no matter what arose, I could deal with it. And there were many situations that arose, and God just gave me a mouth and wisdom. And it just flowed. And when those 3 days were ended and they came back, that empowerment left. It lifted. And I said, Lord, I want it back. Every single day. Every single moment of every day. But that's the peace that God spoke to Gideon. And it's a peace that he can speak to each of us. But it's a powerful peace. It's not passive. It's an outward giving type of peace that allows you to do things like you never could before. And when God bestows that upon you, it's such a blessing and things to be grateful for. That is one of the greatest things that I have experienced in my Christian walk, are those times when I had to do something very difficult and God's peace has fallen upon me, and with it comes his empowerment to do whatever has to be done. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 5. Jehovah Shalom. Praise be to God. Joshua chapter 5. I'm going the wrong direction here. Praise be to God. Here we have Joshua, who has led the second generation of Israelites finally into the promised land after 40 years of wandering. They've crossed the Jordan, they've come into the land, and they're facing Jericho. And up there is this gigantic walled city, a fortress. We serve a mighty fortress, is our God. Amen. And any fortress that we might face pales in the face of Almighty God, who is our fortress. And here Joshua is out. They've been told to take Jericho. It would be the first fruits of the promised land that they would take for the Lord and for themselves as a covenant people. And in Joshua chapter 5, he's out probably surveying this fortress and wondering, how am I going to breach it? How are we going to conquer this city? These people have known we've been coming. They're all prepared. How am I going to conquer Jericho? And as he's out contemplating this in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries. There's a very poignant thing here, which I'll just get back to in a second. It's God's answer. This is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord. And he said, nay, meaning no. It's a strange answer, isn't it? Are you for us or them? No. I'm going to get back to that in a second. But as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. We know it's God because only God would receive worship. If it was an angel, the angel, like he told John and others, would have said, get up, worship God and him alone. What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Here God reveals himself to Joshua, who's wondering how he's going to conquer this major obstacle in his life as the captain of the Lord's host. Jehovah Sabaoth. You know what the Lord's host consists of? Powerful angels. Beyond anything that we can imagine in their awesomeness. We're talking about the holy angels here, the ones that didn't rebel with Lucifer against God. And they are his host who carry out his wishes and his will upon this earth. And Jesus is the captain of that host. He's in charge. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto him. Praise be to God. He is the captain. He is in charge of everything. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. You got a problem? You're facing a big obstacle? Let me conquer it for you. Let me show you how to conquer it. And look at what he chose. I want you to march around the city 6 days, 7 times a day. And on the seventh, when you go around the seventh time, shout and blow the trumpets. And that's what they did, and the walls came tumbling down. Praise be to God. And they went in and they took the city of Jericho, this powerful fortress. But I want to come back just to a second. Are you for us or our adversaries? And he said, no. I believe what he was saying there is, yes, in this instance, you are my covenant people, my chosen people, and I'm going to give you victory. But you need to know that I'm also for your adversaries. I gave them mercy for 400 years, begging them to repent so I wouldn't have to destroy them. And I believe that's the attitude that God wants us to have as well. Are you for us? Yes, he's for us. We're Christians. We're born again people. We are of the family of God. But he's also for the Muslims. And he's also for the communists and for every enemy of him who has blasphemed his name and who have shaken their fist in his face. He's for everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever. And that includes everybody on the face of the earth. Whosoever will come and drink of the water of life freely. I hate Islam, but I'm called to love Muslims. I hate certain sins that people commit, but I'm called to love the sinner. And I believe we can draw that, at least I've drawn it from that. Are you for me or them? No. I'm for everybody. And whosoever will can come and enter my family and be part of that heavenly place where we will enjoy his presence forever. Praise be to God. One more. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Very familiar story. David and Goliath. Here's a guy 9 feet tall. His spear alone weighs 25 pounds. There wasn't a bed. They had to make a special bed for this guy to sleep in. Either there, he'd have to sleep on the ground. He was enormous, and he was a man of war from his youth. Ever see the Gladiator? He would make him look like Pee Wee Herman in comparison. 1 Samuel chapter 17. David says he's going to fight him. Here's the shepherd boy that Walt was talking about this morning. He was out keeping the sheep. And he comes and hears this giant challenging the Israelites, send me your best. Send me a champion. We'll fight. You win, we'll surrender to you. I win, you surrender to us. And no one would go out and fight him but David, because he was blaspheming the name of the Lord, said, I'll go out. And he tried on Saul's armor, didn't fit, didn't work. We can't take somebody else's anointing, can we? We have to go out with our own anointing. And David went out to face the Philistine, and it says in verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Again, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord God of the host of the Lord, praise be to God, in charge of everything. And it says he went at him, he picked 5 smooth stones and went at him with his sling. It only took 1 stone. I'll say it just to get it on there. But the reason he picked 5 is because Goliath had 4 brothers, and he had a stone for each one of them. That's faith. Praise be to God. I'll take down each one of them. But what God is saying to us is, what is the giant in our lives? He's saying, pick a stone, a small stone. Take something, like I was saying before, out of my word, and use it. Stand on it, and you can bring down that giant, whatever it is. Facing hard times, facing illness, facing an emotional loss, whatever it is, whatever the giant is, take a small stone. Pluck it out. It's been smooth because it's been well worn. Many have gone before you and used the same stones, the same words, to win victories in my name. You go ahead, whatever that giant might be. Praise be to God. In Luke, the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 32, we're told that Jesus, who was to be born, would be called the Son of the Highest. That means he would be one substance and essence with God the Father and the Holy Ghost. Matthew 1:23, he said he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is always with us. He is the Son of the Highest, and yet he'll stoop down to the lowest and be with us no matter what it is that we might be going through. Praise be to God. In Acts 3:6, we talked about the lame man who was healed. Peter and John said, I don't have silver and gold, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That name was a reproach. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It had been used as a reproach, and now it's used as one of power for deliverance and healing. Praise be to God. And in Acts 16, Paul uses that name, just Jesus Christ, to cast out a demon. There is nothing, no enemy that we face that can't be defeated in the name of the Lord. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves of a particular name. You'll hear me up here praying often, Lord, your name is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, and we're going to believe for a healing in this case, or whatever it is. And I just want to close with this. Like I said, I've been rereading Richard Warmbrand's book, Tortured for Christ. And I mean, the tortures that they underwent. They were beaten virtually every day. Teeth knocked out, bones broken, just beaten horribly. They would put them in boxes, tall boxes, where you could stand up, and these sharp nails driven into it so that if you moved, even slightly, the nails would pierce your skin and cut you. And stand like that for days on end, unable to move. They would put poison, a little bit at a time, and drugs in the little bit of food that they gave. One piece of bread a week, that's what they got, and this horrible gruel to drink the other days, and that was it. Beaten, starved, drugged. And Richard Warmbrand was a brilliant man. He was a pastor, a Jewish man, who knew the word, who knew theology. A very learned man in the ways of the scriptures and of the Lord. And he got to the point where with all the drugs and the beatings and the starvation, he couldn't even remember the Lord's Prayer. Couldn't even remember to say it. But he could remember the name of the Lord, Jesus. And that's what got him through, calling on the name Jesus, day by day, moment by moment. And it was that name of the Lord, the all-powerful name, He who saves, Jehovah's salvation, Jehovah Jesus, that got him through 14 years of that hellhole before he was finally released. And one thing that I wanted to share from that experience that he shared, he said, Jesus is the truth. We know that with a capital T. He says, the word is the truth that teaches us about the truth. He says, theology is what teaches us the truth about the truth about the truth with capital T. He says, when we were in there, we forgot all of that. But we never forgot the truth. And it drew us so close to him that he said, the best times of my life, even though I was beaten to within an inch of my life, day after day, was being in the presence of that truth. And he says, when he got out and he heard people arguing, you know, about post-trib versus pre-trib, and, you know, all these little things that, like the Catholic Church, you know, if a fly goes in the holy water, does it make the fly consecrated or does it pollute the holy water? And he says, all these things just pale beyond significance in the face of coming down to the place where the only thing that you know and can cling to is that capital T truth, Jesus. Praise be to God. And we have that name. And that name contains all of the Old Testament names. And in fact, I made copies of the names of God I want to hand out to everybody. Contains all of those. It's all contained in that one glorious name, Jesus. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for who you are once again. We thank you for that capital T truth, the Lord Jesus, that can see us through any circumstance, Lord. And Father, even those who died, were martyred for the faith, Lord, have a much greater, greater weight of glory facing them, Lord God. We thank you, Father. Help us to bear up through whatever trials we have to go through and to stand on your word, stand on the doctrine that we have, but most of all, to stand in the truth of Jesus of Nazareth. In his name, amen and amen. Praise be to God. Amen.
Very good, Pastor.
We'll close with